or night,
day or night,
day or night,
day or night,
I have set watchmen on your walls, till he establishes and till he makes Jerusalem a praise.
It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established on top of the mountains and be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass that all nations shall come to Jerusalem year to year to worship the great King and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, and from one new moon celebration to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, saith Yahweh.
Day or night,
day or night,
day or night,
day or night,
I have set watchmen on your walls.
Today we're going to continue our study on Galatians, session number 6. Well, Galatians is one of those teachings that Kepha, it says, it's difficult to understand, at least to those who don't know the Torah, to those who are untaught, and who Kepha says twist the Emerson Shaul's teachings to their own destruction. Now, don't think for a second that a person can understand what the Emerson Shaul is saying in Galatians with just a glance over. Don't even think that a person can understand it without solid knowledge of the Torah, of Elohim's instruction contained in his law. Shaul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, thoroughly schooled in the Torah, and everything he taught was in relation to his knowledge. Even as everything we teach is in relation to our knowledge, don't just trust any religious teacher's interpretation. Don't just trust any commentator. Don't even trust your own self. If the only conclusion you have is one based on superficial study and limited knowledge. For cursed is man who puts his trust in man and who makes flesh his strength, says Yahweh in Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah 17:5. Now, we need to get into the scriptures and diligently study to see if the things that I or anybody teaches is sound and true. As it has been said, ignorance of the law is not an excuse. And I tell you, neither is ignorance of Torah, that is, of Yahweh's law of instruction, or of any part of his word, an excuse if we have the Holy Scriptures in our home but never seriously study them. I tell you again, if you know the Torah of Yahweh, then you will know that Galatians is teaching nothing against the Torah, and in no way, shape, or form is teaching it is done away, but is only clarifying what acquits and pardons us, that is, brings remission of sin, and what does not. Just like American law, when violated, can do nothing to declare us innocent of that which we are guilty of, but can only declare to us the prescribed penalty owed. Even so, it is with the Torah of Yahweh. The guilt issue, accordingly, can only be dealt with through atonement or justification, through payment of the penalty owed by the guilty party, or through pardon and acquittal bestowed upon the guilty party by someone in authority who is innocent of that guilt themselves. The word atonement is similar to our word restitution, but the only thing that can render us innocent in light of our guilt is a pardon from the governor or president. There is no law, no work, no deed, or activity that we can partake of that can expunge our record of guilt. And this whole issue in Galatians arose because certain people in the community of Jewish believers were believing that the foreign believers coming in from among the nations had to be circumcised before they could receive salvation, that is, before they could receive remission of their sins through Yeshua. And that before they could receive remission of their sins through Yeshua, they had to offer up sacrifices at the temple. To investigate this further, let's ask, who is it that needs salvation? Who is it that needs to have their sins remitted? The word salvation literally means to be salvaged or delivered. Who is it that needs to be salvaged or delivered? What do they need to be salvaged or delivered from? Is it the law-abiding citizen who has never so much as jaywalked? Or is it the person on death row? Well, the person on death row, of course. But the scriptures say that all have sinned, and that the wages of sin is death. Sin is violation of the Torah. So, we are all on death row, spiritually speaking. And the only way to be delivered from the spiritual death row is by being pardoned and acquitted by the governor, by Yeshua, our spiritual governor, for our sins, that is, for our Torah violations, that are past. And the circumcision provides no greater advantage to helping us off spiritual death row than it would to help a convict off secular death row. Does that mean that we shouldn't be circumcised? or that the emissary Shaul was teaching against circumcision or against any part of the Torah. Or maybe I should rephrase that in contemporary terms. Does that mean we shouldn't obey the traffic laws of our nation, or that the President of the United States, when granting pardons, is condoning the violation of traffic laws, or condoning any other violation of American law? Of course not. Absolutely not. And concerning the emissary Shaul, he himself was a law-abiding citizen, even as the governor of a state is assumed to be. And the law of the nation Israel in Shaul's day was, and which is supposed to be, the law of Israel always, is God's law, the Torah. The emissary Shaul obeyed the Torah of Yahweh, which includes the law of circumcision, just like the governor is assumed to obey American law, including minor traffic laws. That's why the emissary Shaul had Timothy circumcised. You see, Shaul wasn't preaching against eighth-day circumcision or even against adult circumcision, but only against the circumcision of conversion performed for the purpose of participating in the temple sacrifices for the remission of sin and for the deliverance from the second death in the lake of fire. The primary reason for writing this letter to the Galatians was not in response to questions arising over the issue of covenant circumcision done after the Abrahamic example, but over the issue of circumcision developed through the oral tradition for access to the temple sacrifices. The same issue addressed in Maaseh Acts 15, which just happens to be dealing with the same historical time period as the letter to the Galatians was, that is, around the time period of 50 CE. It is such a tragedy that so many throughout the centuries have disassociated the gospel from its Jewish identity. The Torah was ordained to be the constitution of the nation of Israel and ultimately of the whole earth. And as it was, it shall be again. And not only does it teach us right and wrong, but it also teaches us about Yeshua, about faith, about grace, and about the very gospel itself. And I tell you with grief in my soul that the only place where the Torah, the instruction of Yahweh, has been done away is in the minds of those who do not believe. For that, as the emissary Shaul says, it is only the sinful mind that is utterly opposed to his Torah and is unwilling to submit itself to it. That's Romans 8:7. But if you believe the testimony of Yeshua, then you will love his Father's commandments, even as Yeshua did, and receive them joyfully into your souls. You know, there are many ways to describe how his commandments help to form and perfect our relationship with him. One way is as a father to his child. Another way describes him as a protector of his community, or like the security guard or patrolman safeguarding his community. Another one I often like to use is the way it defines him as a good and just employer or judge. I remember going to work over the years as an unbeliever, sometimes having employers I liked and others I disliked, jobs liked and others I disliked. But you know, when I had an employer that I liked and a job that I liked, I jumped with eagerness to obey their commandments, jumped with eagerness to be a good employee for them. I would come in early and stay late, work on weekends and holidays. I would shave my beard, cut my hair, wear the appropriate clothing, everything. No commandment was too much for me to obey. I obeyed them with complete eagerness and joy, and there were plenty of them. I was also an utterly sinful person at that time in my life, but then something wonderful and amazing happened. I met Yeshua. I met him as Jesus, but when I learned the truth about his name, Yeshua, I honored it, and with my new relationship with Yeshua, I learned a new standard of life. It was called the Torah, the instruction of Yahweh, the commandments of Elohim, which most know only as the law, and I fell in love with it, because I fell in love with the one who created it and spoke it. It was a product of his voice, the voice I love so much to hear. Through it, I learned how to be an honorable son to my honorable father, a loyal brother to my big brother, a committed employee to my spiritual employer, a loyal soldier in a holy army, and a law-abiding citizen, an ambassador of the eternal kingdom of God. It was by combining my faith in him with obedience to his Father's commandments contained in the Torah that I obtained these precious blessings in my life. To the Torah of Yahweh and to the testimony of his Son, the Messiah Yeshua, if anyone does not speak according to these words, it is because they have no light in them, according to Isaiah 8:20. And it is because they have no desire for complete victory over the sin in their lives. You see, faith combined with obedience is what changes and transforms our lives. If I had believed the lie that says that the Torah was nailed to the cross, I would still be a prisoner. I would still be a sexually immoral person. I would still be a Sabbath breaker, shaving my beard and celebrating the Christianized pagan holidays and Christmas and Ishtar instead of the appointed holy times and feast days ordained by Yahweh, the creator of the universe. All of which provide for us very specific and prophetic pictures of Yeshua and of his coming kingdom in every way. But the leaders of this world's religions don't want us to obey Elohim. They want us to obey them. Why? Because as the emissary Shaul says in Romans, we are servants to whomever we obey. And the leaders of the world, knowing this principle, want our obedience to be to them. Because obedience and servitude to them delegates to them power, prestige, and material prosperity. But we are called to obey Yahweh, not men or women. We are his employees, his children, his soldiers, and our citizens and ambassadors of his holy kingdom. And as such, we are to work when he says work, and to rest when he says rest. Celebrate the way he says to celebrate. Dress the way he says to dress, which includes beards for men and head coverings and modest apparel for women. It means eating what he says is food and refusing to eat what he says is not food. It means upholding what he says is right and casting down that which he says is wrong. If you see yourself as a soldier in his army, you jump when he says jump because you want to be a good soldier in his army. If you see yourself as a child of the Father, then you jump when he says jump because you love him as your Father and want to please him as your Father. If you see yourself as a citizen of his kingdom, you jump when he says jump because you are patriotic and believe in the values of his kingdom. However you see yourself in relationship to the Father and his kingdom, be rest assured that if you jump when he says jump, it is ultimately because you love him and trust him. That's right. It's because you ultimately have faith in him that you trust in him and that you obey him and have your works made perfect in him. And that faith, that trust in him, if not followed by obedience to him, is a dead work. A dead faith. James 2:14-26 is where you'll find that one. As it is written, he has called us unto good works, as it states in Ephesians 2:10. That is, he has called us to act in obedience to his way. And as it also states concerning the resurrection and the great white throne judgment of Yeshua, that each will be judged according to his works. Are you of those who say obeying Torah is legalism? Yahweh calls it the way of life and the way of love. 1 John 5:2-3 is where you'll find that one. Do you call obeying Torah a burden? The scriptures declare it to not be difficult at all to bear. Declare that it will bring us success, cause us to be wiser than our enemies, and declares for us the way of life and the way of freedom and a victory over sin. For as it states in John 8:31-32, when we come to know the truth shall set us free. Free from what? Free from sin. The commandments of his Torah, the scriptures say, are truth. Psalm 119. It is written in his word that no one who is born of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, continues to violate the Torah. 1 John 3:9. And that only the sinful of the world are opposed to it. Romans 8:7-8. Yeshua says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The scriptures define only four things as truth. They are the Torah, the commandments, the word, and Yeshua. Yeshua says that we are to worship Yahweh in spirit and in truth. Anyone who speaks against the truth is a liar and opposes Yahweh himself, the Father of truth, according to 1 John 1:6 in chapter 2:3-4. You may ask, what does any of this have to do with the book of Galatians? I say much in every way. For the book of Galatians is all about justification. That is, it's about what pardons and acquits us of our sin, of our spiritual crimes against Torah. I know what it means to receive pardon and acquittal from Elohim. I know what it means to be free of my past record of sin. And most importantly, I know what it's like to be free from the very sin itself and to be free to enjoy the results of a fuller, more satisfying relationship with my Father. and with his son, the Messiah Yeshua, as a result of these sayings. Ultimately, I know being pardoned and acquitted does not mean that I am free to go out and commit more violations against his holy and righteous and just commandments contained in his Torah, but does mean that I am free to go and sin no more. Just imagine what a shameful, disgraceful thing it would be if a murderer was freed from death row as a result of a pardon or acquittal, only to go and murder several more people. How inconceivable! Like the emissary Shaul says, if we go out and rebuild those things which were destroyed, we make ourselves a sinner all over again. And if we make ourselves lawbreakers all over again, does that make Yeshua a minister of sin? In other words, does that mean Yeshua pardons and acquits us so that we may be freed to commit more crimes? Absolutely not. Yahweh forbid. For if we rebuild again those things which were destroyed, it is we who have made ourselves criminals again, not Yeshua, not the governor or the president who gave us our pardon or acquittal. How repulsive to think that a governor would give a pardon to an unrepentant criminal for the purpose of setting him free to commit more crime. And how utterly more repulsive to teach that Yeshua would teach or do such a thing. But yet this kind of heresy is precisely what is being taught today. That is that all you have to do is believe that Yeshua is Messiah, and all your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. Teaching that you are now not only free from the consequences of violating Torah, but free from requirement to obey it at all, because it has been somehow nailed to the cross, for you have been pardoned through grace, not by works. No lifestyle changes required. Just come as you are, and stay as you are. Stay as a miserable, empty, selfish sinner that you are, and praise Elohim for it. What a sad heresy this is, that anyone would imply that a holy Messiah would condone such a destructive and demonic teaching and our lifestyle. It is amazing, though, how relevant the Torah suddenly is, however, when it comes to tithing. All of a sudden, the Torah isn't done away anymore. Or with homosexuality, once the violation of Torah causes our boys to dress up as girls and eliminates any prospects of grandchildren, then suddenly the Torah becomes very important to us. Likewise, with witchcraft and sorcery, we know it would be politically incorrect to support anything so blatantly evil, so why is the law relevant all of a sudden at these times when it is convenient or profitable, but not when it is not convenient or profitable? Because these things make money. Fighting homosexuality brings in big money. Fighting witchcraft and abortion brings in big money. Upholding the traditional Ten Commandments of Christianity, upholding creationism and prayer in public schools and encouraging tithing, these things all bring in big money. Does that mean that these causes are not good or just or holy or even required of us to do? Of course not. It's not the causes that concern me. It's the motive for pursuing them that sometimes, and perhaps in our day and age, oftentimes, concerns me. For all of these causes, as good and as righteous and as just and as holy as they are in and of themselves, all have one thing in common. They all bring in big money. And so I must ask, why do we so diligently pursue these commandments of Yahweh, but not the others? Why is it that Torah is only taught as applicable when it generates contributions, but is taught as done away when it hurts contributions? When we suppress the word of Yahweh for profit, pride, and prestige, we bring a curse upon ourselves. And when we make merchandise of the gospel and exchange the truth for lies and for the traditions of men and women, we bring a curse upon ourselves. When we teach that Messiah pardons people from their past violations of Torah in order that they may continue to live in their sin, only now without fear of spiritual death, we bring a curse upon ourselves. When we teach anything against any of Elohim's commandments, whose commandments are just and holy and righteous, we bring a curse upon ourselves and upon our generation and upon our entire nation. Would we be pleased with the governor who pardoned criminals and freed them from prison with no obligation to obey the laws of our land upon their release? Those who say that the Torah is done away, would they be pleased with an anarchy? If the Torah is done away and nailed to the cross, then the only law remaining is the accuser's law. And if the Torah is not done away, then why aren't we teaching it and obeying it? Perhaps a person might say, well, we are under the law of Christ. If a person believes that Christ is Elohim, is God, then they must conclude that Elohim's law, that is God's law, is Christ's law. And if a person believes and teaches so, then why don't they obey him? We also know that Yeshua, as the son of Yahweh, never did anything contrary to his father's law, to the Torah, which is why he was without sin. For sin is a violation of Torah, as it states plainly in 1 John 3:4, and he never violated the Torah. Likewise, Yeshua provided us an example that we should follow in it. As Yeshua stated in Matthew 5:17-19, that he came to bring the Torah out in fullness, and that the atmosphere and the earth would pass away before even the least stroke of a pen would under any circumstance pass from the Torah. And the atmosphere and the earth are most certainly still there. If you believe in him, then you will believe his words. But whoever says they believe in him, but yet do not receive his words, then neither do they receive him who spoke them. And their faith will be empty and of no benefit to them. When we worship Yahweh with our lips, but keep our mind and actions far from him and his way, and teach as commandments the traditions of men and women in place of his holy commandments, we bring a curse upon ourselves. Cursed is the generation of leaders who withhold knowledge from the people. I tell you, the thieves and prostitutes will enter the kingdom of heaven before they. Cursed is the generation that calls evil good and good evil, who takes darkness for light and light for darkness, who have exchanged the truth for a lie and the lie for profit, pride, and prestige. This generation is that cursed generation, and the hour of darkness is quickly coming upon us, where they will have their way with us. Ms. Moore, Psalm 119:172 says that Elohim's commandments are righteousness. And in 1 John 2:29 through 3:11 and verse 5:3, it is written, if you know that he is righteous, then you know that everyone who practices righteousness is begotten of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of Yahweh. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of Yahweh, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has his hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin violates the Torah, for sin is violation of Torah. And you know that Yeshua was brought forth to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Whoever remains in him does not continue to violate Torah, for whoever continues to sin has neither seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous, and whoever violates Torah is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And it is for this very reason that the Son of Yahweh was revealed, in order that he could destroy this work of the devil. Whoever is begotten of Yahweh does not continue to violate the Torah, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot continue to sin, because he has been begotten of Yahweh. In this the children of Yahweh and the children of the devil are revealed. Whosoever therefore does not practice righteousness is not of Yahweh, and neither is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from Bereshit, from Genesis, from the beginning, that we should love one another. And this is the love of Yahweh, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not difficult to carry. Whoever obeys his commandments remains in him.
Thank you for joining us for the Torah and the Testimony Revealed radio program. The text version of this program is available on our website at www.jewsforyeshua.com. That's www.jewsforyeshua.com. That's Yeshua, spelled Y-E-S-H-U-A. Please join us again next time to learn more about the Torah and the Testimony revealed in Scripture, right here at the Hebrew Nation radio station. Shalom.